Hello, I'm Laura.
And I'm Becky.
And this is What Teachers Tapped, the podcast that reveals our survey results from TeacherTap, the app that surveys thousands of teachers and uncovers their secret working lives. In today's podcast, we've each gone through and looked back at our huge catalogue of questions to find out what we've learned about marking. And we've picked out our favourite things. I'm going to begin with one of the strangest ones that I think we've ever discussed. And this is the fact of how many teachers on any given night are marking in front of the television. Becky, if you'd have had to guess, how many would you have said it was going to be?
Well, I like to work in front of the television, so I would have said it was fairly common. But was it?
Yeah, it turns out that we've asked this twice now, and on both occasions it's been around 40% of teachers on any given night are marking in front of the television, which I find extraordinary because that doesn't include all the people who don't mark in front of the television. It would suggest that probably about half of teachers at least are marking, but many, many do it in front of the TV. And what's really interesting is who is marking in front of the television. So we know that primary teachers who are female with children are the most likely by some considerable margin to mark in front of the TV. And if you are a secondary male teacher without children, you are by far the least likely. Any thoughts as to why this might be?
I suppose we know for teachers who have children that they're more likely to need to leave work early, and therefore they take marking home with them rather than stay late and mark in schools. They've got to get the kids tea, get them to bed and so on. And it gets to about 8:30 and they finally slump down in front of the TV. There's some nice shows on at that time of at night. And they get their marking out. Question is, what are they attending to whilst they're marking? Are they really watching the show or are they marking the work?
Yeah, it's a bit of a tricky one, whether it's Tick and Flick in front of Coronation Street or whether it's actually dedicated work time. Do you think it might be quicker if they weren't doing it in front of the telly?
I have absolutely no doubt that the productivity of working for the TV is lower. So the question is, if you're doing mindless marking where you can actually actively watch a show, is it possible for students to get anything out of it? Like, what is the quality of the remarks and comments that you're able to make?
I used to do quite a lot of mindless marking sat in front of the Education Select Committee. I would put it up on the whiteboard in my classroom and I would sit and watch Parliament as a citizenship teacher whilst I was marking. So I think sometimes maybe if the marking you're doing is as mindless as the thing that you're watching, then maybe it's not so bad. What's been your favourite findings from the archives?
There's one question that we love so much that we've asked it a few times now. And we ask our TeacherTap panel how much they agree with the following statement. If I wrote no written comments in my students' books, they would learn as much as they do at the moment. And whenever we ask that, we usually have almost 4 in 10 teachers will strongly agree with this statement. And a further 30% or so of teachers will somewhat agree with the statement. Very few teachers at all, far less than 1 in 4, will disagree at all with this statement.
So just to check, so there's a few double negatives in there. Is it that most people are saying that if they didn't mark, they still think their kids would learn as much as they do?
Exactly. So they're basically saying that marking has no role in the educational process. It is something else that schools do. We could call it audit, we could call it a marketing activity, we could call it PR activity to keep keep parents happy, as I think Dylan William used to call it, the largest public relations exercise. But it's not, in the view of most teachers, got anything to do with kids learning stuff.
Are there differences in who is dismissive of marking?
There are. So it's the maths teachers who are most strongly dismissive of marking as being a useful educational process.
Really?
Well, what you have to remember about being a maths teacher is that it is the quality of the responses that you're likely to give to the pupil is likely to be just as good if used in class. You just say, right, swap books and mark each other's work and you read out the answers. And so marking in class, with kids marking their own work or marking each other's work, is a really quick and efficient thing to do in maths because there are absolute rights and wrongs. You can get it done really quickly. Which then raises the question, really, like, why on earth are we asking maths teachers to mark? And my theory is we ask them to mark in the name of equality. So we ask them to mark because we need English teachers to mark. So when you look at what English teachers respond to our question about the value of marking, they are the group who value marking the most and believe it mostly does have some educational role because of the kind of complexity of the feedback that they're giving back on work, and perhaps the types of things they ask pupils to go away and do as a consequence, to improve their work and so on. But it's very tough to run a school where you tell English teachers they've got to spend 2 hours a night marking every single night, and then you say to the maths teachers, but you don't have to do it at all because it's not an important process for maths teachers.
But is this where, I think you've talked about this before, what you could do instead though is reapportion, say, maths teacher time. So instead of getting them to mark, we could get them to run extracurricular activities, or you could ask them to do something else.
Yeah, I mean, so maths is an example of a subject where for lots of students, maths homework can be a real problem because they get stuck and they need help. And so it would be great if we could have maths teachers and say, you can choose to mark books, but if you don't want to, you can stay at school for an extra 45 minutes every day and just supervise an open classroom where people can come in and do homework or get help with their homework instead.
We should ask that as a question. We should find out if maths teachers would rather mark or would they rather do after school extracurricular activities or homework club.
Yes.
Because, yeah, I suppose there's a trade-off here, right? We may not think that marking is very important, but if we think that other things are even less important, then that won't be so useful.
So the other group of people who think, like the English teachers, think that marking is enormously important are the head teachers. And they are a fascinating set of people because they usually no longer mark themselves. Or if they do, they have very little marking to do. So when we ask head teachers, would students learn as much as they do at the moment if no marking took place? They, on average, particularly secondary school head teachers, disagree with our statement. So they believe that marking is important.
Have we seen this before, I feel like, with head teachers, where they think that things are very important when classroom teachers aren't?
We do frequently see differences that generally, yes, things that classroom teachers are asked to do by head teachers are things that head teachers value that classroom teachers don't always value.
I suppose as a head teacher, there's also a added benefit of marking, which is that you are able to go in and scrutinise the work. So you can see that the teacher has looked at it, that they have marked it. It's sort of a quality marker of what's going on in the classroom. And it may not, or let's put that better, it is a marker that something is going on in the classroom. And we may make a judgment as to whether or not the marking is quality, even if it doesn't affect the learning outcome. So I can see why as a head you might like it.
It is an indicator that you have asked a teacher to do something that they have done. It's not an indicator that the teacher has taught or even taught well. It's not an indicator that the student necessarily has done much work. So we're drifting into the question of book scrutiny. It's very hard to have proxies for quality teaching and learning. I'm very sceptical that quality of marking has got anything to do with quality of teaching. And yet that, I think, is the thing that head teachers sometimes use it as a proxy for.
So you've mentioned book scrutiny there, and this one comes up quite a lot in terms of teacher workload. And I think last year we looked to see how prevalent it was, and we found that 75% of schools do appear to have a book scrutiny, at least one per term. And around 4 in 10 teachers said they find the process stressful. And I think it is pretty stressful, not least because we also found around a third of those teachers have the book scrutiny included in their performance management. So we've really upped the ante here. This isn't just marking in terms of it's important for the PR exercise. In a third of these cases, teachers are saying it's important for their pay packet. I mean, does that strike you as a good idea for schools?
It's quite a curious idea, because for those of us who haven't taught for a very long time, we remember an era where book scrutiny wasn't something that happened. It wouldn't cross anyone's mind that head teachers should be going around and monitoring in a systematic way the books of the students that you teach. I also think that we have to think through the consequences of these things. When I go and visit schools, I often get to see lots of parallel classes that are being taught the same subject at the same time. And sometimes the head teachers will tell me stories of some of the dilemmas they have across those classes. And one of the dilemmas that they had was that they had complaints from some of the parents in one of the classes about the quality of the students' work in the book of one of those teachers. And when you went across the classes, you could see why. The teacher had a particular pedagogic style that meant that the students were not writing down much during the lessons. And so if you performed a book scrutiny of those lessons, you might worry about the quality of the work. You might worry about the progress that was being made. You might worry that the teacher wasn't doing a good job. Now, you could choose to criticise them or not, but to criticise them was to implicitly make a value judgment about that particular style of teaching and say, this is not a style of teaching we want in this subject, in this school anymore. And I think that sometimes we implicitly criticise teachers' teaching because of the quality of the work in the books, when in fact the consequence of doing that is that we're placing value judgments on teaching styles kind of inadvertently without realising that we're doing it.
Yeah, there's also this issue with looking at work, which has come up before around gender and handwriting, and the fact that boys tend to have messier handwriting than girls for all kinds of reasons when younger. And therefore, if we're starting to judge just what the book's like presentationally, then you can end up sort of marking the pupils in how elegant and beautiful things look rather than their actual learning. I think Dylan William again has also said things like the difference between level 4 and level 5 sometimes might be how neatly you've described things rather than necessarily the thinking.
Absolutely. And, you know, as someone who's a parent and has read all of this research that's out there about the quality of handwriting, the extent to which it influences examiner judgment and value judgments we make about quality of work, I am paying very close attention to the quality of my own children's handwriting, because I don't want them to be downgraded in examinations when it comes to that simply because they don't write well.
Do you know, I used a trick, and I don't know if I thought about it at A-level, but I certainly got some of my A-level students to do this, which was that I only ever wrote on every other line in my exam booklets, on the basis that it is actually much clearer when you read it as an examiner. Now, it's a pain because you end up calling for lots of extra pieces of paper. And in an online world now where the exam scripts are scanned, I suspect it might be even more irritating. But actually, as an individual, I genuinely believe it might be something that's helpful. So the exam board is going to be furious at me now because there's going to be thousands of people telling their pupils to write on every other line. But I stand by it as a strategy, especially if you have a student who you think their handwriting might work against them. It just makes them look more considered and calmer. Speaking then about writing, one of the findings we've got from the archives here is around what colour pen teachers are told to mark in. Now, remarkably, we found that 65% of teachers in their marking policy are told what colour pen they must mark in. So 32% have a free choice, and then beyond that, it varies. Green pen was the most popular, 21% of teachers. Red pen, 19%. Then several colours, which have to match, whether it's teacher feedback or verbal feedback or anything else. Another colour pen. But I particularly enjoyed that when we put this on social media, we found that there were some schools that had very particular policies, including one that had aqua pens for marking by learning support assistants. Actual aqua pens. On the other hand, I also know that lots of teachers got in touch with us and said they thought this was great. It was really helpful for when you were flicking through the books. And I also have now spoken to several head teachers who said that they've increased their teacher morale. They've made people feel much better by the fact that they require them to write in red pens or green pens or whatever else, but they centrally supply green or red pens. So the teachers at least feel they have the tool and there is an endless amount of these pens. So it's just a fascinating example of how this one little tool to do this thing that may or may not even make any difference can increase morale, make people feel as if they're doing something better, and yet be completely bizarre.
So the other night on Twitter, someone was reporting that parents were being asked, being reminded that they should write in their reading logs in a blue or black pen. And I don't know how much this was a joke or this was serious, but it created a real discussion around the extent to which schools should be asking parents what to do in reading logs.
It's amazing. Does your marking policy have a parent colour? That's what, in fact, imagine saying to parents, we need an aqua pen for writing in homework diaries. I mean, overall, do you have a view on what schools should do about their marking policies?
I think we should pursue efficient marking policies, and that means that we may want to make decisions to treat different teachers who teach different subjects and different ages of children very differently from each other. If you're teaching a year one class where the kids themselves can barely read themselves, I don't know why you're writing comments back to the pupils about the quality of their work, because I'm not really sure they're going to be able to respond to them so well. I think if you are teaching a subject where it has like a very strong experiential element because it's design technology or indeed music, I think it's okay not to mark if that's what you want to do and it suits the way you want to teach. So I think we need to kind of embrace the idea that different departments will want to and have to mark different amounts. And then we have to deal with the consequence of that on the burden on the teachers. But if there's people who don't feel marking's valuable, like, why don't we get them to do something else with their time instead?
So I think that's going to be the next question. I can see you've written it down already. We're going to have to ask this question of whether or not something, some other activity is better than marking. That's a wrap, I think, for today in terms of our findings on marking. But if you do have an idea of what teachers should be doing instead of marking, we would love to hear from you. Please do tweet us at TeacherTap or email us hello@teachtap.co.uk. Remember, that's TeacherTap with two P's on the end. And more importantly, if you would like to get your votes into the TeacherTap surveys, please do join our panel. You can do so by downloading the TeacherTap app at the App Store or the Android Play Store. And we do weekly analyses every week. You'll get those through the daily tip on the app itself, but you can also find them at teachertap.co.uk/blogs. Becky, will you be marking in front of the TV this evening?
I'm very pleased to say that I don't have any marking to do because I don't teach anyone anymore.
And that's the end of the podcast this week. Thanks from me, Laura.
And that's all from me, Becky.